name. What does it mean? You may not pick it from the Bible verse you read, okay? But there are some clues. For example, you know some people today are called Lucy. Ever come across that name, Lucy? It's a good name. It's a good name. It's a name you can give your daughter. Lucy. Yes. Yes. Lucifer. What does it mean? I want to try someone else before I come to you. Anyone? Yeah, you can try. You're not going to pay any price for missing it.
Bible verse now. Morning Star.
Morning Star. Yes, yes, yes. Not too bad. Not too bad. Anyone? You're not too far away. It's actually in line. Lucifer. What does it mean? Check some other version of the Bible. You may get some clues.
Light bearer.
That's right. Light bearer. Check New Living Translation. Isaiah 14 verse 12. New Living Translation. Yes.
Lucifer is a foremost angel of God.
Yes, that's right. And we'll come to that. We'll come to tell you who he is. Yeah, when we go to the book of Ezekiel. But that name. So someone said morning star. Someone said light bearer. Light bearer is still the closest. And then?
Says, all shining star, son of the morning.
Yeah, so basically in New Living Translation, instead of called saying, are you falling from heaven, Lucifer? It says, are you falling, oh shining star? Mm-hmm. Any other one? Lucifer is a light bearer. Yes?
Same as light bearer, bring of light.
Bring of light. Yes? Any other one? Yes, one more.
It says light bringing.
Light bringing. Amen. It's a beautiful name. It's a glorious name. Lucifer is a shining one. The light bearer. The shining star. The son of the morning. The morning star. Is that not beautiful? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Open your Bible to Ezekiel. Lucifer is a very good name. But just that, when you know the career of the devil, you don't want to associate with Lucifer. Amen. I dare say that Lucifer was a better name than Michael and Gabriel. He was the top angel. Ezekiel, let's look at Ezekiel. Because Ezekiel will describe him more to us. Just flip forward, if you're in the paper Bible, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, chapter 28. Yes, someone else to read, a youth. Yes, Ezekiel 28, thank you. From verse 11. Ezekiel 28, 11. Ezekiel, please follow in your Bible, Ezekiel 28. Let's just start from 12. Ezekiel 28, verse 12-15. You know, we read Isaiah 14, 12-15. Now we're doing Ezekiel 28, 12-15. And 28 is the 14 times 2. Yes, Ezekiel 28, 12-15. Audrey.
Son of man, sing this funeral song for the king of Tyre. Give him this message from the southern lord. You were the model of perfection.
You were what? What was Lucifer? What was Lucifer? The model of what?
Perfection.
Is there any perfectionist in the house? You like all the T's to be crossed, all the I's to be dotted. You like your seat to be exactly aligned in a particular corner. You like your food to be served in the right angle. Lucifer was what? The model of what? Perfection. That's how God created him. As a model of what? Wow. Continue, please.
Full of wisdom and exquisite in beauty.
What was he full of? What was he full of? And what? expecting beauty. Like, he didn't even make up. He came naturally with this. I'll prove it to you there. Continue.
You were in Eden, the Garden of Eden.
No,
the Garden of God.
Yeah, he's not. Remember, he didn't say he's in the Garden of Eden. He was in where? Eden, the Garden of God. I'll show you that they're different. It's not Garden of Eden. I'll prove it to you from what you're reading. Continue.
Your clothing
there's a heavenly Eden, and there's an heavenly Eden. How you will know where this Eden is, because later it will give us other descriptions. Then we will know that it's not talking about Garden of Eden, because this is actually happening before man was created. Continue.
Your clothing was adorned with every precious stone.
Yes.
Red carnelian, pale green peridot, white moonstone, blue-green beryl, onyx, green jasper, blue lapis lazuli, turquoise. And emerald.
Anybody like turquoise in this church? Hello? Continue.
All beautifully crafted for you and set in the finest gold.
Wow. Continue.
They were given to you on the day you were created. I ordained and anointed you as the mighty angelic guardian.
The mighty angelic guardian. If you are reading from King James or New King James, it calls him the anointed cherub who covers. Yes? Where was he? Continue.
You had access to the holy mountain of God.
Okay, now if you are reading King James, it says you were. Where? On the holy mountain. So this Eden that he was in is where? The holy mountain of God. You see that? Now, remember that if you read the Garden of Eden in Genesis 3, do you come across anything like precious stones there? No. So it's a different Eden. It says this Eden is the holy mountain of God. I remember when we read Isaiah 14, it said, are you falling from where? Out of heaven? From heaven. So this Eden, the Eden that God made on earth is just an example of the Eden in heaven. Amen? The Eden in heaven is the holy mountain of God, full of precious stones. And we can prove it to you from Revelation. Because all the stones you read there, you will find it in Revelation. Please open there, Revelation chapter 21. So today we're looking at what happened before God created man. And he also shows you why God created man. I can show you the link. Revelation 21, quickly. We're looking at the mountain of God. The holy mountain of God. There's a popular name we call that mountain. Anyone can give me that? What's the popular name we call the holy mountain of God in heaven? There's a popular name we call it on earth today.
Mount Zion.
It's Mount Zion. Hebrews 12 says, you have come to what? Mount Zion. The city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. That's Eden. Eden is Zion. And it's up there. So when Lucifer was created, he was put on the holy mountain of God, full of precious stones. Let's look at it, Revelation 21, then I come back to Lucifer. Revelation 21, are you there? We have Audrey reading. Can you just switch to New King James and read from verse 10? Revelation 21 from verse 10 to... I'm looking for where we have the stones described. Yes. So patiently just read from 10 to 20. Revelation chapter 21, verse 10 to 20. Please follow in your Bible. Revelation 21, 10 to 20. We're looking at the full description of the holy mountain of God. Continue.
And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain.
What was it? Where did they carry him to? A great and high mountain. Continue.
And showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God.
The holy mountain of God is the great city that descends from heaven. It's in heaven now. By the end of time, when it's all over, it will descend and come down. Continue.
Having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone. Jasper stone.
Continue.
Clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates. and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. The three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its walls. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its walls, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel.
S 18.
The construction of its wall was of jasper.
Now, jasper. Now, remember, Ezekiel 28, one of the stones there is called what? Jasper. Continue.
And the city was pure gold, like clear glass.
Amen.
The foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth
chrysophrase. Continue.
The 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst.
Amen. Now, do a comparison later. Compare. How many stones were mentioned in Ezekiel 28? Count them. How many precious stones? Sorry? No. In Revelation 12. Yes? What about in Ezekiel 28? Count it. How many precious stones? Go back there. Ezekiel 28. Yeah? And let's count. Ezekiel 28. I will tell you the verse in case you've forgotten. So verse 13. These are precious stones in Eden above. Not Eden down. Above. Yes, count them. How many? How many precious stones in Ezekiel 28? Sorry? 9? Any different answer?
10.
Who said 10? Who said 9? Okay, so tell us why you said 10. Yes. Tell us why you think it's 10. What was missing? Okay, don't worry. Give it to me. Yes? Who believes it's 10? Yes. Okay, tell us why you think so.
Yeah, because it's stated here, we've got sardius, topaz, diamond, that's 3, beryl, 4, onyx, 5, jasper, 6, sapphire, 7, emerald, 8, carbuncle, 9, and gold, 10.
Okay. Let me tell you the trick there. Is gold a precious stone or a metal? Hello? Who are those who believe in jewelry? Is gold a precious stone or a metal?
It's a metal.
Thank you. I like the way you even said it. I have to learn phonetics from you here. It is a metal. It's not a stone. Gold. Yeah? Am I right? So there were 9 precious and 1 metal. Amen? Yeah? And so when you go to Revelation, you now see 12 precious stones and gold. And gold. Gold is in both. Yeah? I know I've explained to you before, I said the gold in heaven is not the same as the gold on earth. Yeah? The city is, the foundations are not precious stones. He said they are adorned. Check it. The wall is jasper. We're looking at this city, it's a transparent city. All the walls, both vertical and horizontal, are jasper. You can see through. Because the Bible said the light of God, the glory of God, shines through the city. Yeah? It's clear like crystal. Amen? But each wall is, each floor is adorned. So you have jasper first, then you have an adornment of precious stones on each floor. And there are different types, including turquoise and sapphire and emerald. Then after they are donned, you know, like you have a floor and you have some design, then they are now overlaid with gold. But the gold is see-through. Amen? Are you following the picture? Oh, this is not, man cannot do this. It's beyond man's technology. You have a floor that is full of, it's made of transparent glass called jasper. Then it's now adorned with different precious stones. 12 floors, all having different precious stones. Then overlaid with transparent pure gold. Amen. That's beyond what we can achieve. Amen. The best gold you have on earth is not transparent. It's poor quality. Amen. Say the gold on earth is poor quality. Hallelujah. So when the light of God shines from his throne through this city, it gets through because everything is made of is transparent. Amen? All these stones, light passes through them, but they are different colors. Amen? It's a masterpiece of light. This is the Eden, the garden of God. Because the city that God builds by far exceeds man's technology. It's a great and a high mountain. It's the what we call Mount Zion, the city of the living God. And God's throne is seated on Mount Zion. Amen? This was the Eden that Lucifer was created into. Amen? Question. Why did Lucifer fall? The answer is there. Why? He was the top angel, the most beautiful. By the way, oh, before that question, can I ask you a question? What is a cherub? He said Lucifer is the anointed cherub who covers. What's a cherub? Or what's the meaning of cherubim? Cherubim, cherub. What's the meaning of a cherubim and a seraphim and Angel Michael or Archangel? Anyone? Which is greater, a cherub or an angel? Why? You have your mic. Go for it. Because I'm trying to explain. Because when you read, you have to have some, you know, mental picture of what you're talking about. Go on, please.
I'm just having a go. So I think from what I know, a cherub is a type of angel. It's a very specialized one. I think it's the highest of angels before the seraphim, before the other angels. I think. Just thinking about the Ark of the Covenant when they made what God said they should sort of construct, there were two cherubs. That sort of
what's their job? Covered. What's their job? Look at the I've spent time thinking about this. The Ark of the Covenant in temple, yeah? You have two cherubs, yeah? Overshadowing them. What do you notice about them anyway? They had what? They had wings. Not all angels have wings. But as far as I know the Bible, there are two sets of angels that have wings. The cherub or the cherubim and the seraphim. The cherub, they have four wings. How many? We find in the book of Ezekiel chapter 10. Is there. And the seraphim, they have six wings. You find that in the book of Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. Are you with me? But all of the other angels, including Michael, it never described to have a wing in the Bible. Wherever you found that, it's not in the Bible. Amen? Are you following me? So question is, the cherub is the high class of angel. But what's their job? It's in Isaiah, Ezekiel 28. What's the job of a cherub? You mentioned a bit of it, Stayemi, you're on track. On track. What's the job of the cherub? That is different from the job of an angel. You can imply it both from, you know, the Ark of the Covenant and them overlooking it. And then you can imply it from, there's a version somebody read about Isaiah, Ezekiel 28. What verse was that? It said you are the anointed cherub who covers. What verse is that? What verse? You were the anointed cherub who covers. Ezekiel 28. 14. Look at it. Think about it. Look at a different version. You will see the description of the job of the cherub. Come on, church. I need answers. What? Protector. Yes, what else? Well, we know angels protect. Yeah? So, but yes, it's in the right direction. Yes? What other version you saw there? I saw another version saying something about guardian. Control. Yes.
All seeing. Seeing a lot of things. I think I have.
Well, actually, when you look at the Bible, yeah? Ezekiel 10 and Isaiah 6 and Revelation 4. Cherub and seraph, they have eyes all over. Both of them. So that's not the specific. Yes, what else? Did you read the version talking about? You're getting closer. You're getting closer to what I'm about to say. Then I read the version guardian. Someone read it. Angelic guardian. So, yeah. So what is unique about the cherub that is different from under angels? Every time you see a cherub described in the Bible, Ezekiel 10, and then the book of Exodus about the Ark of the Covenant. Yeah? They are acting as guardians and protectors over the appearance of God. They are personal bodyguards. So God. Amen? The other angels, they are sent to minister to men. Yeah? The angels of God come to minister to men. They come to carry out assignment of God on earth. But any time God is going to show up on earth, Bible says he rides on the wings of the cherub. Can I show you that? Yes? Let's look for it. He's in 2 Samuel and he's also in Psalms. Okay, someone read Psalm 18, verse 10. Another person, Psalm 18, verse 10 first. Then Psalm 104, verse 3. Psalm 18, verse 10. Psalm 104, verse 3. We are looking at the fall of Lucifer. Psalm 18, verse 10. Anyone? Psalm 18, verse 10. Let's go this corner. Yes. Did you want to? Yes. Go for it. Yes. Thank you. And flew. Okay. Go for it. Go for it. Go for it again. I don't mind repetition. Okay. Can you read the verse before so we know who wrote on it?
Sorry?
Read the verse before from verse 9.
Okay. Verse 9. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Amen. Yeah, he did fly upon the wings of the wind.
Amen. So what's God's personal, what's the car model of God? Cherub. Yes. Well, when God is going to show up, how is going to show up? He will ride on his navigator. His navigator is a cherub. Amen. Four wings. Amen. In the temple, yeah, where they have the Holy of Holies, they have the Ark of the Covenant, then you have the cherub overshadowing. You don't see God. What do you see? A cherub. Amen. They are personal bodyguards to God. Amen? And the Bible calls Lucifer what? The anointed cherub. Which is the top of them. His number one choice. You know, if God had five cars, his choice car is who? Lucifer. Amen? The seraphim, if you read Isaiah and Revelation, they are permanently at the throne. Bible says they never stop crying. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. They don't come down to earth. They are stewards at the throne. Yeah? Always giving glory to him. But the cherub is the one they come down. Amen? Praise the Lord. So you know now the class. It was an angelic bodyguard. Who covers the throne? He said, you are the anointed who covers. protection. Yeah? It's not as though God needed bodyguards, yeah? It's just ceremonial. Amen. But that was his status. Amen. He was a top civil servant in heaven. Amen. And God made him the perfection. You know, like if you have money and you want to buy a nice car, what will you buy? Like, you don't have any limit. You have limitless money. Let's look for somebody. If you have limitless money, what car model will you buy? Should I ask your wife?
Yeah. Okay.
Anyone? Sorry?
I'll buy Lamborghini.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other person? Top. No, limitless money.
Bespoke, specially made for
me. Yes, specially made. Yes? Any other person? What's your dream car model? Come on, dream now, dream. You're not going to be, judged for that. You think kids, you don't have dreams? Come on, tell us. Okay, let me ask. It's too much. Amen. Hallelujah. God designed him with beauty. It was a perfection of what? Of beauty. And it was full of what? Wisdom. If God had a special assignment, yeah? And was looking for one person to send, who will he send? It was Lucifer. No more. But it was. And that's why when God wanted to design the city of the living God, the one that whose builder and maker is God. You know, in Hebrews, the Bible says Abraham was looking for the city whose builder and maker. I'm not seeing that body longer. Let's go there. Hebrews 11. Let's go to Hebrews 11. I've read this Bible verse for many years. But you just read it and you just keep it because you think it's just there. It's just English. But it has meaning. Hebrews 11. Open your Bible to Hebrews 11. We are going somewhere. I'm just trying to build a picture in your mind before we now analyze, the fall of Lucifer. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you. It's because you got it. Just read it. Hebrews 11, verse 10. Yes, please.
For you waited for the city which has foundations.
Yes. Can you just read verse 9 so we see the context?
By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents.
Can we start from 8? Because I want to find where the name is, the name of this person.
Okay. By faith Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he could receive as an inheritance.
Now you know that part of the story where God called Abraham to leave, his family, from the land of Ur. And then God showed him, go to a place I will show you. Continue.
And he went out, not knowing where he was going.
Yep.
By faith he dwelt in the land of promise, as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations.
He was looking for what? A city that was what?
Foundation.
Now, is it foundation or foundations?
Foundations.
Amen? And we read Revelation 21. How many foundations does that city have? 12 foundations made of precious stone. Yes, continue.
Whose builder and maker?
The builder and maker of this city is who? Is God. There's no such city on earth. Amen. Amen. It's Eden above. The new Jerusalem. The heavenly Jerusalem. Yeah? The builder and maker of this city is who? Is God. So God made this city. But who did he send to adorn it? Who did he send to adorn this city with precious stones? Did he finish the task? I'll give you the clue. How many precious stones in Ezekiel? 9. How many in Revelation? Did he finish that task?
No.
Amen. Somewhere along the line, his heart was lifted up. Amen. Hallelujah. So when I was just thinking about the story of Lucifer, what really strikes me is that he says that he is full of wisdom. And he is the perfection of what? Of beauty. The Bible says that he was adorned with every precious stone. But actually, I'm teaching you today, the way tradition is taught is that it's clothing. I don't think that's the best translation. It's Eden that is adorned, but he's walking there. Amen? So that covers him. Amen? It's not him. It's Eden that is adorned with those precious stones. But he is sent to stay there. So it's his covering. He's covered with all those precious stones. And then overlaid with gold. Amen? So my question is this. Why did Lucifer fall? There are many answers in Isaiah 14 and Ezekiel 28. By the way, as we're doing this, your children are also doing it in Sunday school. So you can compare notes with them when you get up. Why did Lucifer become Satan? Let me start with that. This is a very simple answer. Why did Lucifer become Satan? Lucifer, the best. The best angel. The most beautiful. Yeah? Most beautiful. Most beautiful. The shining one. The morning star. Yeah? Why did he become Satan? This one is a short answer. You know the answer. Let me try the kids and the youth. Did God create Satan? Did God create Satan? Did God create Satan? Who made Satan? Who made Satan?
Lucifer.
No, who made Satan? I mean, like, is there anything that is created that who created Satan?
Well, indirectly, God did.
Yes, but God did not create him as Satan. Yeah, God created me as what? Lucifer. So. Why did Lucifer become Satan? Something so beautiful, so good, so perfect. Yeah? God made something beautiful. And then it became the devil. Why? Short answer. What changed him from Lucifer to the devil? That's the shortest one first. Don't look for your advice with just simple reason. Something good becomes evil. What is it in the middle?
Wait. Like God.
Yes, you're correct. You're going advanced. Let's stay basic. Good. For good to change to evil, what do you need in the middle? No, it's a three-letter word.
Is it the text? Sin.
Yeah, it's sin. Good. Yeah? We become evil when it passes through sin. Standard equation. It's balanced. Amen? How do you get evil? Take good. Take the best good. Mix it in the pot. With what? Sin. What do you get? Amen? Whether it's angels, whether it's humans, it's the same thing. Take good. Mix it with the ingredients of what? Sin. Now, let me now go to the next question is this. What is sin? Let's define sin. I'm looking for the best definition. Maybe 5 points. But I don't have to give you 5 points. It's just to motivate you. I'm looking for the best definition of sin. What is sin? Come on, church. Why do you feel sin is not well defined? We don't know the meaning of sin. So try. What's sin? Everyone? Anyone? Yes? Let me have a first go. I won't take you first.
Disobedience.
Disobedience, yes. Good answer. I'm looking for, not perfect. Good answer. It's correct. It's absolutely correct. But I'm looking for an answer that will capture it and you can apply it to Lucifer or anybody. Yes. What is sin?
It's an act that leads to evil.
Yes. Yes. I agree. But that's not the perfect one I'm looking for. Did I say hand? What is sin? Define sin for me. Why are you too quiet? You're too quiet. What's sin? In your own words.
Rebellion from God?
Rebellion! Yes!
Yeah, when you do something out the will of God?
Outside the will of God, yes! That's the top answer so far. Yes? You may as well win 5 points today. Any other, I'd like to listen to your imaginative answers. Yes? Go for it, Sayami. Then I'll call you, Kevin.
Whatever is not faith is sin.
Yes, that's right. That's right, and that's Romans 14, I think. Yes, and one more. What is sin?
Pride, selfishness, and free will.
Thank you. That's excellent, Kevin. Sin. Amen? You know, I met someone in the Barber Saloon. Do you meet people at Barber Saloon? It's a good place to meet people. Or hairdressing. Yeah, Saifi, do you meet people at hairdressing salon? Yeah, it's a good place. I don't know if this is by appointment, isn't it? But I see people. It's an opportunity to talk. So this young man, I believe that one day you come to this church. Amen. Because I'll keep it going. He was like, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. But I'm a good person. What is the basis of your goodness? Who defines that you're good? If you don't believe in God, you don't have any moral compass. And I didn't say you don't have morality. You have morality, but you don't have a compass to measure your morality. So, he said, I'm a good person. I said, you're not a good person. I said, you're selfish. You know, you're like, how do you mean? I said, every human being is what? Every human being is selfish. Because you protect your interests first. And if you have children, you protect them first. Amen? If you don't have children, if you have an husband, you protect him. If you are not protecting, you are not being wise. Yeah? If you have money, you protect it. Is that not selfishness? Amen? Praise the Lord. I say, if there's no God in your life, you don't have any way to measure that you're a good person. Amen? So, sin is not just disobedience. It is disobedience. But if you have an evil person that tells you to do something evil and you disobey them, is that sin? You understand? To define sin, we need to look at the compass. The compass is God. Only God is right. What did I say? Only God. Open your Bible to Romans chapter. I think it's chapter 5. Romans 5. Romans chapter 5. It says no one is good. Find it for me. Romans chapter 5. It's like a piece of technology. I think one of them. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Please open your Bible there. Who found it? I said, none is good. Oh, no, Romans chapter, sorry, it's 3. Romans 3. 3 what? 3? 10, yes. Romans chapter 3 verse 10. Please, who is ready to read it? Romans 3, 10. Yes? What? Pumulo, let me call you. So make sure that I'm not losing you completely. Romans 3, 10. You know you have a good phone in your hand. When you're in church, that phone has only one job. Bible. Romans 3:10. Yes.
If I need more, I'll tell you.
As it is written, there's none righteousness. No, not one. There's no one who understands. There's no one who there's no one who seeks after God. They all have turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There's none who does good. Their throat is an open tomb.
Let me ask you a question, church. I am not saying there are no good people on earth. No, please don't misunderstand me. I'm showing you the definition of good. Why is there no one who is good according to that verse?
The answer is there.
The reason why there's no one who is good is in that verse. Can you tell me? Romans 3, 10 and 11, look at it. He said there's no one is righteous, no one is good. Then he gives us the reason. What's the reason? Come on, church. What? Because there is no who what? Seeks after God. The reason why there's no good is because there's no one who seeks after God. You know why? Only God defines what is right. Otherwise, everybody gets to define what they choose, isn't it? Some say, I like this, I don't like that, I believe in this, I don't believe that. Everybody says, my truth is not your truth. There's no fixed truth. Only God defines what is right. And only God is righteous. But that doesn't mean you cannot be righteous. But the only way you can be righteous is to move on to his side. His side is the righteous side. Whenever I rebel against God's position on any matter, it's called what? Sin. Sin is rebellion against God. What is sin? Rebellion against God. And I want to ask a question. Why? Let me see how we're doing with time, because we'll continue this next week. Why do people rebel? Now, let me change the question. Why did Lucifer rebel? But I want you to know that all this answer you're giving me is the same reason why people rebel. Hello? Someone said, if there's no devil, I'll be fine. Someone said, he said, if there was no devil, I'll be fine, I won't sin. It's a lie. Because Lucifer was created holy. He was created perfect. He was created complete. It's not as if he needed anything. He says he's full of wisdom and beauty. And he was perfect in all his ways. He was on the holy mountain of God. There was no sin. There was no sinner. Why did Lucifer rebel against God? Come on, church. Many answers. Think about it. Look at your Bible. If you don't have any clue, go back to Isaiah 14. The answers are there. Ezekiel, the answers are there. Why did he rebel?
Because he thought he can do better.
Yes or no? Yes or no? I'll qualify. I'll tell you why. I'll qualify it. Yes?
I think he believed in himself.
He believed. I like that. He believed in himself. Yes? Why did Lucifer sin? Anyone? Yes. Why did he rebel? Sorry. Because I say sin, you miss it. But he rebelled. You're welcome. Why did Lucifer rebel?
Pride.
Pride, yes. And it comes back to, where does pride come from? Pride comes from a belief in what? Yourself. You believe you are better. Samantha, yeah? You can't be proud. You can never be what? Proud. If you don't believe in yourself. And if you don't believe that you are better or you have a greater sense of right or entitlement, you deserve it. Amen? Yes? Any other answer? I think we hit the answer. I know it's pride, but just to break it down, the root of pride is your ego, yourself. And let me give you the answer there. He didn't believe he could do better than God. He's a created being. A created being can never do better. Lucifer, with all his beauty and all his power, is limited. He's created. If you are created, yeah, you will be totally stupid. Not foolish. Stupid. What's the difference between stupidity and foolishness? Anyone? Stupidity and foolishness. Are they the same? Stupidity, yeah? I mean, listen. Wisdom and smartness. Stupidity and foolishness. What's the difference?
If you're stupid, then you just do something not according to the rules. But if you're a fool, it's like you throw out the rules and you do whatever.
I like that. That's good. Did you hear that? Say, if you are stupid, you will what? You know sheep? You know sheep? Sheep are generally tend to be stupid, yeah? But they are not foolish. Because they know the voice of their shepherd. And they follow. And they will not follow the voice of a stranger. That's wisdom. Stupidity is a function of your brain capacity. If you have a very low IQ, you will do stupid things. You get it? Is a brain problem. But wisdom and foolishness is a heart problem. Foolishness is what? You can know something that is wrong and still that you will pursue it for the rest of your life. That's not stupid. That's foolishness. Because you know it's wrong. But your heart is not right. Yeah? Are you following what I'm explaining to you? You know in your head that something is wrong. But you are pursuing it with your life. That's not a stupidity problem. It's a foolishness problem. Amen? If you never understood that it was wrong, then you are stupid. But if you understood and you are still continuing that way, yeah? Bible says there's a way that seems right to a person, but the end of it is what? Destruction. You know, but you are continuing. Yeah? It's a heart problem. And the only solution to that is to repent. Amen? You don't need to be taught. When you are in that state, you don't need to be taught. You need to be preached at. Hello? When you don't know the truth, you need to be taught. Yeah? Because you didn't know. But when you know and you are still doing the wrong thing, you don't need teaching, you need preaching. So that you can be converted. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Are you learning something? He believed he could do better for himself. Not that he would do better than God. He can't. It's impossible. Do you get it? I didn't make a car. I'm driving it. I can't do better than the manufacturer. But I could think that I could decide I will break the rules because it's better for me. I will enjoy it better if I drive it upside down. Are you with me? Yeah? But I can't do better than the manufacturer because I don't have the capacity to make it. He believed he could do better for himself. Now, let me look at the time and we have 6 more minutes to talk. I want to finish on time. We'll continue next week. Let me show you something there which I want to correct one of the misconceptions we have about Lucifer. Go to Isaiah 14. It's the last place we are opening. Isaiah 14. I will ask you some questions. And I want to say that all I'm explaining to you applies to you. Because Lucifer was created holy and perfect with beauty and wisdom. If he could fall, the reason why he failed is the reason why anybody can fall. It's not a God problem. It's a creation problem. It's not a creator problem. Creator is perfect. Creator is good. Creator is loving. But the creation can choose. Say with me, say the creation. Say the creation. Men and angels can choose. That's where the problem is. Amen? Amen. It's a choice problem. It's a choice problem. And it's important that we choose right. You know, the book of Joshua, he spoke to them. He said, I set before you today life and death. Choose life. It's your choice. Say, it's my choice. Say, I'm the one choosing. Say, God has provided me a choice. It's not up to me to choose him and not rebel against him. Hallelujah. That's why Lucifer became Satan. And what's the final destination of Satan? Anyone? Final destination of Satan. You ready today? There are two destinations. There's initial, there's intermediate, and final. By the way, you know Satan is not in hell right now. Where is Satan? Where is Satan right now? He's your adversary. Where's Peter 5:8? He says he's going where? He's going to and what? Fro. He has no rest. When he rest, fro. What is he looking for? Something he lost. He's looking for wood to take with him. Amen? The Bible says that we can resist him. Amen? Say, I can resist the devil. James 4 says, submit yourself to... You can't start resisting the devil, or you cannot resist the devil properly if you have not submitted yourself to God. And sometimes, many times submission includes repenting. Because the Holy Spirit, if you are born again, the Holy Spirit is in you. If you are not born again, the Holy Spirit is not in you, but you can be born again. All you need to do is repent and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. To the exclusion of all other gods and all other idols. Because he will never share his glory. He will not share his glory with what? Any man, anything. It's true. He said, I'm the Lord. Exodus 20. He said, I'm a jealous God. I'm telling you, it's not a mistake. Yeah? It's the jealousy of a married person. You went to marry, you married a wife or a husband. Would you like to share them with anybody? Tell me now, would you like to? Let me ask my friend.
No.
Under any circumstances?
No.
That's saying be God. He said, I'm a jealous God. Exodus 20, he said, I, the Lord your God, I brought you out of Egypt. I am a jealous God. I'm not sharing you with anybody. He said, thou shalt not have any other gods. And I want to show you what Lucifer did. It is well with you. Actually, your husband should be telling you that. So finally, let's look at Isaiah 14. Let me just correct the misconception. We stop there. 2 minutes, we stop. Or thereabouts. Isaiah 14. I want to look at the sin of Lucifer and we continue next week. We have a lot to learn from him. And we should learn from him. So that we don't make the same mistake. His final destination is the lake of fire. The Greek word is Gehenna. But he has an intermediate destination. He said he will be cast into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. He's not there now. He's operating. But the day is coming where he will be cast down. And from there, he will be given one more chance to rebel. And then, lake of fire. Praise the Lord. See, Jesus said, the lake of fire is not my portion. Amen. But you don't achieve that by confession. You have to it's according with your deeds, your choices. You make that choice, yeah? You walk with God. You walk by faith. When you miss it, you repent. You don't put it under the carpet, yeah? If you deal with God with a true heart, yeah? One wholehearted and no other gods, no other idols, you can't miss heaven. But if you are dealing with God double, wishy-washy, you are danger. It's the word of God. Amen? And the key is, that's all, but I'm not perfect. Yes, that's why you should repent. And get back on track with God. Isaiah 14, let's look at it. This is the last piece I said. Isaiah 14, the sin of Lucifer. Let's stop it there. So verse 14. Isaiah 14, 14 is the last one we're reading today. Anyone ready? This side. Yeah, Isaiah 14, 14. Then we'll finish it there. When you finish that, I'll ask you, what was the main sin of Lucifer? That's the question coming.
For you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of the congregation, on the farthest side of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High.
Amen. That's okay. So what was the sin of Lucifer? The main sin. The real... In one sentence, what was the sin of Lucifer? From those verses. He wanted to be like the Most High. Amen? Yeah, do you agree? Okay, let me just quickly explain this one. And we'll finish. Did the Bible say he wanted to be the Most High? Read it. Isaiah 14, 14. Did he say he wanted to be the Most High or he wanted to be like the Most High? Amen. He was not planning to overthrow God from the universe. He can't. He can't. A created being, except he's stupid. And he's not stupid. God, the Bible says he's full of what? And beauty. He's smart. He can't want to overthrow God and be the Most High. Because the reason why he can't want it's not possible. Do you get it? It can't for him to think that I will be the Most High is stupidity. That's not what he wanted. What did he want? He wanted to be what? Like. Please, English, please help me. What's the difference between wanting to be something and wanting to be like something? What's the difference between wanting to be something or wanting to be like something?
Replicate.
Replicate, yes? Yeah,
like is like a copy.
Copy! Hello? Someone say, I can never commit the sin of Lucifer. Every human being on earth who is not following God is committing the same sin. See, when you say, God, you stay there and do your own business. I will stay and do my own business. You are wanting to be like the Most High. Because you are saying, I don't need you. I'm okay without you. I want to control my own domain. It's my own affairs. It's my own life. I want to be God over my own life. It's my body. I have the right to do with it as I like. You want to be like the, you have excluded him. Not from the universe, from your life. Amen? And the reason why it's a sin is that you are not the owner even of your life. You are not the owner of your body. You didn't make it. You are the guardian, caretaker. Say I'm the caretaker. You are not the owner of your wife. You are the caretaker. You are not the owner of your child. Each of them has come to the world with their God-given destinies. But you are the caretaker. Your job is to train them so that when it's time for them to enter their destiny in God, they will enter easily. Amen? You are not the owner of your money. Because you can't have money if you don't have a brain. Yeah. It's God. Every time you lift your hands to work or your brain, how does your body work? Yeah, even the doctors don't fully understand. They are still learning. I don't know about Stanley, but my wife, every day they are reading, studying, updating. There's something new. Am I right? Amen. So when you keep God out of his rightful place and you want to take over and be in charge, yeah, it's the same sin of Lucifer. Saying that I believe in myself. I know what I'm doing. It's my life. I'm making my choices. Now, some people are very smart. They say, okay, fine, no problem. I will do those, then I will call God to bless it. It's like he was a dog. Yeah? No, God doesn't want last place. I told you before that God doesn't carry last. He wants what? First place. You put him first. Anything that God has not approved in your life that you are doing, you can never glorify him with it. For you to glorify God with something, it must be of him, through him, and to him. Let's rise up and pray.